Now for the preaching of the word. I remember, I think it was Joey. I think you're the one that told him this. We were someplace and I was preaching and homecoming, and one lady looked over at Joey and said, "I'd rather hear Brother David preach than eat." And Brother David said, "Me too, I've heard him eat." Isn't God good? All right. We've been doing Revelation. We've been taking our time. I'm not doing Revelation today, but we're doing Revelation. And actually, we started in just before November, and we just finally are finishing up chapter 6. So we're taking our time, and we're going through all that's going on. And you can take, out of all the years that I've preached Revelation, never has it been like today. It's almost like I'm taking out the headlines and preaching from the headlines. It just blows me away at what's happening. But also, there's another chapter, another person, actually, chapter and verse, but the person that has blown me away, and it's kind of the same way. It's like you can see it in all that we do. God anointed a man named Ezra. After Israel had been in bondage, they anointed a man named Ezra, and he come back and he built the temple. So Ezra builds the temple, which is our relationship with God. But, it was an unguarded relationship. Some of us in here today, you're going to understand when we get through what we're talking about. It's an unguarded relationship. So God calls a man named Nehemiah to come along and build the walls. The walls were built to guard that relationship. The United States is in a bigger battle than you ever could imagine, and it's not overseas, it's not anywhere else, it's right here amongst us, a big battle, and the problem is our walls are down, and it's time for us to rebuild the walls and guard our relationship with God. Amen? All right, amen. Let's get the book of Nehemiah out. Turn to chapter 4. I almost fell off the steps. Amen. My shoes were sticking good. I'm telling you, if I was playing basketball, we'd be all right today. God is so, so awesome. And God is moving in our midst in such a way. And I hear people say, "Well, where's the church? And where is God?" I'm here to tell you something. God is here. God is here today. There was so much to go over. I didn't know exactly how much to even go into this. I'm actually breezing through a lot of material because it's so rich and so full. Ready? Get your Bible out. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Stand for the reading of the word. Verse 1, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before the brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, a fox has the smallest footprint and has very little weight. So if a fox can break it down, that means it's absolutely no good whatsoever. Hear our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together, the half thereof, for the people," listen, "had a mind to work." That word mind is attitude. Okay? They had an attitude toward us. Pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne, God. And we know, God, there's no way whatsoever we can do this by ourselves. The challenges of this last day are so powerful, and there's a conditioning going on, getting the world ready for the advent of the Antichrist on the scene. And by the time he gets here, it's just going to be like old school because we're already conditioned with all this stuff that's going on. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us be able to see it, have the wisdom to understand it. And God, help us to see that we are all called to be Nehemiahs in this last day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Look at someone on the way down and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Yeah. You know, I did hear some interesting news this week. Y'all remember Buckwheat from the Little Rascals? I heard that he had converted to Islam, and they changed his name to Kareem of Wheat. Okay. One more, and I'm going into this. Amen. Matter of fact, when I get through, y'all going to be hollering, please preach, please preach. Two preachers were on the roadside, with a sign that read, "The end is near. Turn around before it's too late." I thought about this, what we're seeing today. The passing driver yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts." Then the preachers heard a loud splash. One preacher looked at the other and said, "Do you think we should have just said bridge out?" Okay, I see right here. All right. Rebuilding the wall. Go and get you. Took his mind and tell him, say, get ready because this is not. Look, I actually was trying to come up, ask God to let me just let it be something joyful and have some fun. And today, and honestly, because of all the stuff that's going on, I just could not get beyond this. And so I'm telling you, Nehemiah's day is a replica, just like Revelation is getting us ready for what's coming. Nehemiah is what's going on today, just like it's in the headline. Okay, the walls were down. The temple and the homes were exposed. There was many people under attack. Many had been taken captive, and many lives were trying to rebuild. So God raised up a man for the generation. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound familiar? You're not here by accident today. God's calling you to do something that you may not even want to do. He's going to tell you to do something that you may be wish that you didn't have to do, and that is be strong in this last day and show the world that the answer is very clear, and it's not what they're doing. It's not a political answer. It's a spiritual answer. Okay, I'm trying not to get political. I'm very hard trying not to get political, and I won't. But I'm here to tell you something. When you look at Nehemiah, you can't help but see our nation. If Satan can't stop us, how many had setbacks in your life? How many said setbacks lately? The United States right now is under a great amount of stress and a lot of setbacks. I can't even believe what I'm seeing now. I can't believe what I hear. Every time we turn on the television, the stuff we see just drives me up the wall. The stuff I'm hearing, it just breaks my heart. And here you got to remember this now. Remember, this is not a political problem. This is a spiritual problem. Okay? That's why we're having problems already, because we're trying to fix a spiritual problem with the political ideas. And I can tell you right now, 100 times over, politics cannot solve a spiritual problem. Amen? Remember I told you what politics were? Poly meaning many, ticks, blood-sucking creatures. Many blood-sucking creatures, they cannot handle what we got going on. All they're doing is making matters worse. And the hypocrisy drives me crazy. Amen? So here it is. Watch this now. So if he can't stop us, Satan, he will get us with setbacks. He will keep setting you back and setting you back and setting you back. Every time you think you're taking a step forward, he'll get you going back again. You go forward to get you going back again. And so setbacks. What are setbacks? I got it up here. Unexpected, unexplained hindrances or distractions. Wow. Anybody got any of those? How many just lately said, "I cannot believe they did that"? How many lately said, "Wait a minute, I thought I knew better than that"? How many has heard, "Wow, I never thought in a million years you'd be telling me this is going on now"? It's because we are in the last days, and Satan knows his days are numbered. And Satan, listen, he knows he's defeated, but he will not accept his defeat. And because he will not accept his defeat, he's going to go out kicking and screaming all the way. So look, Israel had been here for 150 years trying to build the wall. 150 years. But every time they tried to build the wall, there was a setback. Every time they tried to build the wall, there was something come along that would put them at a disadvantage. So for 150 years, they could not build this wall. And then God put it in a man named Nehemiah's spirit. And Nehemiah asked the king to let him go. And there's a big, long, man, you could just go on for weeks on this, but I'm just going to, I tried to condense it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I promise you the chicken won't get cold. What we're going to do is, we've already told them that when I say amen, that's when they start heating it up. The first time, yeah. Okay, so watch this now. Watch. Watch this very carefully. What we're facing today is weapons of mass distraction. Ready? How many's been distracted lately? How many, you know, it's one thing is you're trying to get something done at the house, you got five kids and they're all going in different directions and they're going, daddy, 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 daddy. And you're so distracted you can't keep up with what's going on. It's another thing when you're trying to work for God, and as you're trying to work for God, Satan keeps putting distractions in your way. And as he puts the distractions in your way, he can even have you, watch this now, he can even have you doubting your own relationship with God. Amen? So watch this now. Look, he will distract you. I wrote it down here. He'll distract you. He'll break your focus. He will break it as sure as the Lord. If you let him, he'll break your focus. And once he breaks your focus, then he can disrupt you. Once he disrupts you, he can slow down your momentum. After he slows down your momentum, then he can detain you and he can stop your progress. I just saw a few people take a big, big swallow, so I'm pretty sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Y'all can say amen. You won't scare me. I promise you. Ready? Matter of fact, the more louder you get, the faster I'll preach. All right, there you go. All right. And if he can stop your progress, he can destroy you. He can hurt your relationships with God and with others. That is where our nation is right there. That's a picture of our nation. We've been so distracted, so disrupted, so detained that the whole nation is being destroyed. We got people fighting that didn't used to fight. We got people that used to get along, don't get along anymore. And it's not because necessarily something they did, if they would think about it, it's something Satan did. Satan started bringing out weapons of mass distraction. And so now instead of seeing us build the kingdom for God, we're busy trying to go back and forth, doing whatever the distraction is of this day. What's the flavor of the distraction today? And it changes every day. It keeps me, it's almost like, you know, sometimes I get about to watch the news and I'm about as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. Turn, 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 change, 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 change. Okay, so now, what we got to do is let God turn our setbacks into stepping stones. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Matter of fact, you know, we hear all kinds of new words. In this last few months, we're hearing all these words, you know, and again, I'm not being political. I just got to throw one word out there, and I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not political because I'm going to bounce off of it to show the spiritual part. We keep hearing about being woke, woke, woke. I got a better challenge for you. How about be awakened, 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 awakened. Wake up and see that God's coming back soon, and we've got to be ready. And so we need to wake up and let God use us in this last day. Look, I'm going to tell you about this. I'm going to go to some anatomy of satanic attacks, okay? I know some of y'all have been serving God a whole lot longer than I have, and you can be up here and you can do a better job, but give me a shot here. Ready? Watch this. Whenever God begins to move, whenever his anointing is present, get ready for Satan to counterattack. Now, listen. You think Satan's attacking you? He's not attacking you. He's attacking the anointing. You go ahead and just try to walk on your own and do your own thing. Guess what? He doesn't bother you. But when you start operating in the power of the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then he will attack you all he can because he senses the anointing on your life. And that's when he attacks. How many's ever said, you know, I was living pretty good until I got saved. And once I got saved, then all these attacks happened. Why? Because Satan senses the anointing on your life and he attacks the anointing. Because if he can take you and get you to operate beyond your anointing or without the anointing, he's got you because you're fighting in the flesh. And we cannot win this battle fighting in the flesh. Boy, ain't this a good homecoming sermon. Get ready. That chicken's going to really be good when we get there on the other side. You know why preachers like chicken so much, don't you? It's a spiritual experience. Ever since that one told on Peter, it's revenge. Okay. All right. Go. Here's the anatomy. The anatomy of a satanic attack. Ready? Watch this. Why does he want... Listen, I'm telling you, if you're not anointed, if you're not seeking God's anointing, if you just decided just to limp around through life, and you're saying Satan's leaving me alone, the reason, like I said before, is because he senses the anointing, and when he sees the anointing, he goes to work. So watch this. Watch. He attacks us first at our point of praise. Our praise has to do with our attitude. Our praise invites God's presence. You say, well, I just don't feel God's presence. Well, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you don't feel his presence today, why don't you try praising? Go ahead and try it now. Watch what happens. God, we praise you. Glory to the Lamb of God. You are awesome. You are the Most High God. We know, God, you've got the answer for right now. Help us to step into the anointing. Amen. Amen. So, first, he attacks us at our point of praise. As I start watching the news and start watching all the junk that's going on in the world, I have to sometimes make myself praise. Why? You got to realize why. It's because Satan is attacking you at the point of praise. He knows if you don't praise, he can get a foothold in your life because praise invites his presence. Number two, he will attack you at your point of commitment. That's to do with your availability. That invites God's potential. So when I praise him, I invite his presence. When I begin to be committed and show him I'm inviting God's potential. God wants us now to stand up. You don't have to listen. We don't have to stand up and march and hold signs. Look, just let Christ shine in you. Let him shine in you. Let him shine in you at work. Let him shine in you with your family. Let him shine in you and in your community. And when you do that, it's amazing. You know, we think, well, how can God use me? Just be you, but look, here's what it is. You take your natural and let God put his super in it. And when God puts his super with your natural, it becomes supernatural. Amen? And God wants us to do our normal stuff, but do it with a supernatural ability and power. And when we do that, people are watching. And people will say, you know what? I like to have what that guy's got. I was at Procter & Gamble, and I've been there for after God saved me, and I really got serious with God. I kept noticing a couple of guys kept watching me from another department. I'd go to break room, and they'd be watching. And finally, one day on third shift, one of the guys came up to me and said, who's your dealer? And I said, excuse me? No joke. I said, excuse me? He said, who's your dealer? I said, why are you asking about my dealer? He said, because there ain't no way a guy can be as happy as you. Unless he's on some good stuff. And I'd let that be a Sunday school word. He didn't. And I said, dude. And about that time it hit me. I said, oh, I tell you who my dealer is. He said, who? I said, JC. Jesus. I said, JC. And he said, JC. Is he over on 4th Street? I said, he's, yeah. And 5th Street, and 6th Street, and 7th Street. He said, he got a big area. I said, he got a big area. My dad, he said, JC, I said, yeah, Jesus Christ, dude. I said, this is not me by myself. It's the anointing of God. And you know what? He decided to go find somebody else to find a dealer. All right. So now, make sure it's your point of praise. That's why it's important that you don't let anything stop you from praising God. Number two, he attacks you at your point of commitment. Whenever you commit to do something for God, you invite attacks. How many's ever said, well, I said I was going to do this, but ever since I said I was going to do this, I can't seem to get any time to myself. Why? Because you're being attacked at your point of commitment. And then third, he also attacks us. This is so powerful. He attacks us at our point of anointing. Listen carefully. Our praise invites God's presence together with our attitude. Our commitment has to do with our availability. It invites God's potential. And the anointing invites, it has to do with our ability, and that invites God's power. You know what? It's amazing. If some of y'all could actually see, if God would open up the windows just a little bit, let you see what he was going to do with you or what he wanted to do with you, but you've been scared to step forward because you didn't think you were able. Let me tell you a little secret. None of us are. Actually, I'm shy. I really am. Nobody believes me. You know, but I used to be shy. How about that? I got over it. All right. But the point I'm trying to make is God's anointing helped me get beyond my shyness. God's anointing can help you get beyond a whole lot more than you ever could imagine. Some of y'all in here don't even realize the stuff that God's got for you to do, but you got to praise him, you got to commit to him, and you got to seek his anointing. And then when you do that, something very powerful is going to happen. So here we go. So why does God, or excuse me, why does Satan attack? Here we go, the anointing. Why does Satan attack the anointing so bad? Get ready. And I'm getting ready to move on. Satan attacks the anointing because I just wrote three things. There's a lot more, a whole lot more. Because God's anointing breaks the yoke. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is not an egg. A yoke is that big old deal that sits on the oxen and hooks them together so that one can't move without the other. And one's moving, you're going in the same direction no matter what. And some of y'all right now don't realize maybe the world's got you in their yoke. Maybe Satan's got you in his. Oh, you're saved, but see, he's got you still in your yoke. Or maybe it's just your attitude's got you in a bad yoke. But when the anointing hits, Jesus Christ breaks that yoke. And it's amazing the freedom that you feel. So it breaks the yoke. It moves us beyond the flesh. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It moves us beyond the flesh. And also, it makes a way where there is no way, because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift the standard against him. Now watch this. How do we know this happened in Nehemiah's day? Remember I told you been trying for 150 years? 150 years to build this wall. Can you imagine? God's people were vulnerable for 150 years. Now I'm going to meddle. Some of y'all's families are vulnerable because you've let him convince you that you can't build that wall. Or every time you start to build it, you let him distract you. And you don't build. You quit. You take a step forward and 10 back. Nehemiah did in 52 days what could not be done in 150 years. 52 days what could not be done for 150 years. That's powerful. It was not him. It was God. Let's just watch it. I'm just going to tell you about the walls. You say, well, there must be little bitty walls, little bitty old itty bitty walls. Now, let me talk about these walls for a minute. Jerusalem's walls. Watch this. They were 2.5 miles in length. The average height was 39 feet. The average thickness was 8 foot. It had 34 watchtowers. It had 8 gates. It enclosed 90 acres. So you know what? It required God's hand for him to build the walls that big. Or rebuild the walls that 150 years couldn't do what he did in 52 days. Some of y'all are in here right now say, well, I will do something, but it just seems to be overwhelming. I will do something, but I just don't think they'll listen. I will do something, but I just don't think I can handle it. God, good! I'm glad you realize you can't handle it. I'm glad you realize they're not going to listen to you until God's anointing gets upon you. Because once God's anointing gets upon you, wow! That's when something major will happen. So, when we just read, it was 26 days in the fourth chapter, 26 days. They were halfway through building the wall. And so they're at the middle point. Some of y'all don't realize how close you are to getting to your finish line. You don't even realize it because you're so busy being distracted. You don't realize if you just keep on swinging, you're going to hit that bat eventually. You're going to hit that ball. So So watch this. When he saw the positive momentum, he said, I got to shift it. Some of y'all in here right now, say ouch or amen. All of you, ouch or amen, because here it goes. Because I'm going to say it both, ouch and amen. Amen? I promise you that I'm not up here because I'm super duper whopper whooper spiritual Christian Superman. Because you know what? We all got our kryptonite. Amen? And we all sometimes find it kind of hard to step forward when we're going through things. So watch. Ready? Let's see it. Here's his methods, and here's the methods that he used. And I'm not gonna drag it out because this could be, I could take each one and preach on it for a week, but I won't. Somebody say amen. Get ready. Let's look at chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set the doors upon the gates, then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. There's a reason why Ono is there. When Satan tries to pull you to the side, you just say, what? There you go. When Satan's trying to pull you to the side, just go, oh no, okay. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Why should I stop working to go to your distraction? Yet they sent me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause that thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to those words. The very first thing he starts doing is, the very first thing he does is he tries to get Nehemiah to compromise. Very first thing. Okay, come on down. Let's talk about it. And then we'll take no for an answer. So come on, let's go again. And after four or five times, Nehemiah still says, I can't come down to you because look at what we're doing. It's too great a work. He says, oh, you just want to show off. Okay, which is the next word. Let me just stop right here. Intimidation. Let's go to verse seven. We're gonna keep on. I'm trying to hurry up. I can smell the chicken already. Amen. Just remember, when you go over there, before you stop, when we say our blessing over here, I want you to just remember that about 40 chickens gave their life for us today. That's right. And that was also appointed prophets to preach to thee at Jerusalem, saying that there is a king in Judah. Now shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto them, saying, there's no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feigned them out of thy own heart. In other words, you're making this mess up. For they all made us afraid, saying, thy hands shall be weakened from the work, and it shall not be done. Now therefore, God strengthen my hand. So first, there's intimidation, plots of war. Then there's discouragement. After I came into the house of Shema, the son of Deleiah, the son of, you need the Holy Ghost just to say these names. Just remember when I'm saying it, doesn't need an interpretation. Okay, ready? Mahetabel, who was shut up and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yet in the night will they come to slay thee. Now, discouragement is setting in, or trying to set in. Verse 11, and I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. And just keep on going out. What thing he said, I'm not going to let fear. Look, y'all say this. I'm not going to let fear get the best of me. When I hold his hand, I'm connected to power. Amen. And then, of course, selfishness. Again, selfishness is saying that you're just doing this so they'll just pick you up and let you be the man. You the man. But the wall construction. After all that, ridicule, intimidation, discouragement, fear, selfishness, the wall construction did not stop. So guess what? Satan let them alone, and he kept on building. Satan just said, okay, I quit. Have you ever stood against Satan and thought, okay, we got this now? He just left you alone, never came back. Nope. Look, he left Jesus for a season. After the wilderness, he left him for a season, but he came back. Amen. He got desperate, so he stepped up the attack. I'm just going to get these words. I just read all this. I'm not going to read it again, but you got to read it yourself too. As a matter of fact, I want you to read this yourself. So now he tries compromise. He tries slander. He tries threats. And then he tries intrigue. But Nehemiah didn't fall for it. He stayed on the wall. See, this is quick. We're getting ready to close. I said, getting ready. That doesn't mean anything. I remember one day Daniel, when he was a little bitty boy, Daniel had invited one of his friends from school to come go to church with us. And I said, in closing, and the boy had never been to church. And I said, in closing, and the little boy looked at Daniel and said, what does that mean? He said, no. How to stay on the wall. Number one, listen carefully. He kept working. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. You don't have to have a preacher come beat you over the head with a Bible. You know what's right. You know what's right. And you know what's wrong. If I had to walk behind you and beat you up with the Bible, we'd have missed the whole point. The Holy Spirit in you and God's Word in you will give you direction. Yes, it's good to get counsel, but just keep doing the right thing. If you keep doing the right thing, eventually something good is going to happen. So first, be a good perception. I'm not going to stop working just because you want to distract me. And number two, get a purpose. He said, you can't distract me. I'm doing a great work. A great work. In other words, I'm doing this for the right reason. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this so I'll shine. I'm doing this so my Father will shine. Every day when I go do things, I say, please don't let them see me. Let them see you. All the time. When I got up here today, I said, God, please don't let them see me. Let them see you. Or let them see you, God. It's important. So, perception. He kept working. He did the right thing. The purpose. A great work for the right reason. Number three. Prioritize. He said, I don't have time to come down. And he did things in the right order. Not only did he not come down, but he organized the people and put them in front of their own homes. So they built the wall in front of their own home. So and then they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. He had his act together. He did everything in the right order. I'm almost through. I said almost. I got to say almost three times. That was how many? Benny? Two? Okay. I said, Benny, and everybody went. I know it's getting close. You know how I know it's getting close? Because about 5 minutes ago, y'all were going, amen. No, you weren't. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you're going, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look, persistence. He just kept working. He just kept working. He just kept, I can't say that enough. He kept working. You know, a lot of times I find myself and I'm going, God, I don't necessarily see that this is working, but you haven't showed me anything else, God. So I'm just going to keep on and I'm going to keep on and I'm going to trust you and watch what you do. Amen. Number five, had a powerful connection. Because now he's working through God. He's not working through himself. He knows that. So now, he is working through the right power and finally patience. Guess what? It's not going to happen overnight, but guess what he did? I love it. And the Bible says, get ready. I love it. He shattered everything. You know why? The Bible says, so the wall was finished on the 20th day of the month. Of Elah in 52 days. 52 days. For 150 years, Satan won because he distracted them all the time. Some of us in here, I had to fight distractions. Amen. I got ADHD. I didn't think I did, but my wife gave me a test, and well, so I said I didn't believe it, so she gave me a second test. And then on the third test, I started believing her, and it had 20 things. I had 19, I said, but there's one thing it says I got that I don't. She said, well, I said, come and just make loud noises. And about the time I walked through the sanctuary, I went, and she said, okay. And all of our enemies heard about it. And all the Gentile nations around us saw it. They lost their confidence, for they recognized that the work had been accomplished with the help of our God. That's what our nation needs to see today. If our nation sees that, guess what's going to happen? Overwhelmingly, God's going to take control. And I can't wait. Get ready. Brandon, come on up here and play something softly, bro. God's calling us, this generation. Climb up on the wall. Don't be afraid. Climb up on the wall. What you may do might not seem like much. What you do today is going to really make a difference. There was this man, I can't think right now, his last name just slips my mind, but the guy's name was Johnny. It was John, actually. And I can't think of his last name at the moment, but John wanted to fight in the war for the colonies. And between circumstances and all kinds of things, he didn't get a chance to fight in the war, but instead he wound up working in an apple factory. In this apple factory, he had something, or an opportunity to get something that not everybody got. And that was, he got bags and bags in bags of seeds. So instead of disposing of them, John took them and put them on the back of a wagon. And when God gave him the go-ahead, he started moving west into an unexplored land. And every place he went, John Chapman, every place he went, he buried those apple seeds. He'd bury them and go a little bit further and bury more and go a little bit further and bury more. This guy never got a chance to taste the fruit of his labor. But guess what? Millions of people, as they were coming across, got a chance to be refreshed. And sometimes it's all they had to eat as they were exploring. And they come across these apple orchards. And John Chapman, of course, y'all know him as Johnny Appleseed. Never tasted the fruit, but helped millions. Matter of fact, there's no telling how many of us in here have ate fruit off trees that were planted by Johnny Appleseed. Some of you in here right now are thinking, well, I can do something, but it's not going to mean a whole lot. Maybe not now. When you build that wall, you're going to make a difference for people on the other side, behind you, your children, your children's children. There's things I do today that I may never see the fruit of it. My children may never see the fruit of it, but my grandchildren may see the fruit of it. And they might not even ever know that granddaddy stood strong one day and refused to quit. And because of that, we're blessed. Today, more than ever, we need to awaken. We need to wake up and take our place in history as the last generation before the second coming. Everybody stand. bowed, every eye closed. You may be here today, and you're moving forward in God, and God's using you, and praise God He is, and you step forth fearlessly, and you know God's got you. If that's you, I praise God for you, and I thank God for you. But if you're here today, and you wish that could be you, today's your day. There's a lot of relationships that are being attacked. We got to build that wall. Build that wall. Not be distracted. Not be intimidated. Let God use you. If you're here today, while nobody's looking around, every head bowed, and you say, Pastor, and of course, let me just say this. In order to start building that wall, the very first thing you need to do is be right with God. And that includes not only being saved, but sometimes we just moved away from Him. We need to get close to Him again. And every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, well, Lord, or say, Pastor, I need to talk to the Lord today about my relationship because I don't think it's where it needs to be if I'm going to build this wall. And I need God to help me be strong in Him again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just put that hand up and I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help them be strong, Lord. Those that raised their hand, those that wanted to raise it, Lord. Bless them. Help them be strong in what's coming. It's tough out there and it's getting tougher. And help them to realize that none of them are there where they're at by accident, but God put them there, placed them there strategically to make a difference. And I thank you for it right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you might even be thinking, well, God can't use me. I don't know what I can do. Or I've blown it already, God. Why would you want to use me? Because I've blown it so many times. Guess what? You haven't blown it too many times. I was talking with somebody yesterday. The person yesterday told me, said, I've messed up too much. And I'm not sure if I'm going to wind up where God wanted me to wind up. And I asked him, I said, did you have a GPS? They said, yep. I said, when you put in a destination and you make a wrong turn, does it forget where you're going? It said, nope. I said, doesn't it find a way to get you back on the right track? And they said, yep. I said, that's how God's plan is in your life. There's a GPS. God's already got a plan. And He's already put in all of your mess ups and already recalculated and got you in position. And listen to this. Every mess up winds up being something you can use to help somebody else. So if you hear this right now and either you're not sure God can use you or you're just wanting God to help you one more time to get back in there with nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. And maybe just here you just need God just to refresh you and bless you as you stand up and build that wall. Put that hand up. Put that hand up. So I need God just to bless me, refresh me, help me be ready. Bless them all. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to work for you. Bless us. Help us to be strong in you and to not miss out because we're distracted. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Look, we're going. Okay. Yeah, you come on up here for the baby.